So there was a story about a kidnapping that happened very close to where we broadcast from. Well, not so close, I guess, on the weekend. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm seeing more and more of these stories. There's a young woman who went missing last week here in Johannesburg, and as far as I know, she hasn't been found yet. She's with the Pink Ladies. There's also a lady in Cape Town who went missing. But there's, we're hearing of people going missing, which is quite unusual in and of itself, but we're also hearing about kidnapping. Now, kidnapping has been on the increase over the last few years, which is why I've taken to driving with a really skinny person next to me. Because, I mean, who are you going to... Okay, let me not. So we actually contacted the CSO, the Community Security Organization, and joining me right now is the CEO, Leron Sanders. You know, you actually deserve a permanent parking downstairs, Leron.
I don't want it, though. That's the problem. I mean, I'm happy to be here as always, but I'd prefer not to be here.
Yes. Well, we like having you here. All right. Can we just get the facts straight about this kidnapping story?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's dive into it.
Okay. Tell us what happened.
So,
specific areas, obviously.
Let's try keep it general, and let's talk about the crime itself more than the incident. And I think that's a little bit important to start off with, just to give the listeners an understanding of what's taking place in the environment, if that's the direction.
Okay.
I think what's important to understand is this express kidnapping or hijacking crime syndicate is currently the trend. And what it aims to do is people get kidnapped, per se, or they get hijacked with their vehicle, and the perpetrators take them and they try to withdraw as much money from their bank cards, phones, banking apps as quickly as possible, and then they leave the person. And that's the idea behind this express kidnapping, what's taking place at the moment. And that's a very short summary of the crime.
Well, I know, because it actually was very close to home about 2.5 years ago when we had a staff member who was kidnapped at the Marlborough exit or off-ramp, right? And exactly that. So what happened in this instant, just that we have the facts?
So in this instant, what happened is...
When did it happen?
Friday afternoon.
Okay.
So on Friday afternoon, someone was kidnapped. A few community members saw it. We got notified of the incident. We obviously activated all of our response teams to try to deal with it as quickly as possible. Again, time is of the essence in this. It's a matter of 3 or 4 hours that we have a time frame to deal with to try to find the person. Obviously, our teams were deployed to various different places to try to locate the person. Very important, we didn't do this alone. We worked with other role players in the industry to help us make this possible, which is great to see.
SAPS, right?
SAPS and other security companies, yeah. It's very important to mention because I don't think any security company can do it on their own, and they shouldn't have to. I think this communal working together between police and all the security companies is absolutely phenomenal, and you can see in times of crisis how well it works, and we're blessed to have those partners. So we reached out to all of our partners, and thankfully, after about 3 hours, we were able to locate the person.
How did you do that?
So it was quite a wide operation, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I think there are probably over 15 different vehicles out there on the streets, people with family members trying to locate where the money was being spent.
So they were actually spending money.
They were spending money as we were looking for the person. So
they took the person's credit cards and went,
and they were spending
let's
money.
Buy some shoes.
Yeah, let's buy some shoes, exactly. So thankfully, we had family members that were able to track that, so we were trying to track where the money was being spent to identify
where they could be,
100%. Look, at the end of the day, we understand from the trends that they generally end up in Alex. But where in Alex is a big question. And thankfully, we got a transaction spent in Sandton City, and members of our team as well as another security company were able to apprehend two of the suspects.
Wow. And that's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And through catching them, we were able to identify where the remaining suspects and the person was being held in Alex so that we could find the person.
Wow, wow. That's actually miraculous what you're explaining.
Yeah. So I think from a CSO perspective, it's the first time that we've dealt with an express kidnapping where we've actually caught the people. Generally, when these happen, we tend to just find the person. But because the transaction spend was ongoing for so long, we are able to catch the people as well and then locate the person.
That is absolutely phenomenal. Okay, so what are the things that are going to make us look like targets for kidnappers?
Look, I don't think there's a shape, form, or person that looks like someone's going to be a target. I think most of the time it is opportunistic,
really?
100%. I think it's really opportunistic. It's not the fancy car you drive in. The car involved in this
no,
incident wasn't
like
a high-end car.
If you're walking somewhere, instead of looking like you're just kind of like meandering, walk with purpose, right? Maybe
yeah.
It's things like that. Body language, no?
So
he's rolling his eyes. I just want you to know that he is actually rolling his eyes at me.
Yes and no. Again, at the end of the day, when these people find a way to commit crimes, they're going to do it. At the end of the day, the only way to believe it is for us to be more aware of our surroundings and what's taking place. Instead of aimlessly driving into the parking lot here on my cell phone, I was aware of what's happening. The parking lot's empty now, it's later in the afternoon. I was understanding that this is a high-risk time, even for myself. It's understanding what is taking place around us.
And yet Friday afternoon, this is empty.
So it's about understanding, where are your vulnerable spots? Where are you a target? It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what your financial worth is. Anyone can be a target. If they can get 2,000 Rand or 1,000 Rand out of you, they'll get the 1,000 Rand out of you. So it's really, really, really about your self-awareness and understanding your surroundings.
I don't know. I wonder about how many South Africans, you know, the end of the first week of the month have got 2,000 Rand just hanging around that they can just... your average South African is not going to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... that's just the way it is. Yeah. It's the economics of the country. Okay, so what else do we need to know?
I guess I'll put it out to the listeners or to you to ask me any questions you want to know. But again, I think like we said earlier, the real purpose for me being here is to answer questions.
Yes.
As well as to give that guidance on being aware.
All right. So I've got some questions. All right. Liron, by the way, if you've got any questions for Liron, he's the CEO of the CSO. And you can send them through on 061-895-1019. Liron, why has there been an uptick in kidnappings?
It's hard to predict crime trends. We try and monitor them as much as possible. Generally, what we see is around the holiday seasons. That's when crime trends increase. Most of them you see is home invasions, theft of gate motors, etc. And then, often or not, there's these pockets of syndicates that pop up at random times of the year. And currently we're in this express kidnapping pocket where guys are taking the opportunity to try get into that extra money. I can't give you the exact answer. It's not a science, unfortunately.
What are the other trends that are happening at the moment?
So a lot of petty crime is the big trends at the moment. Home invasions, etc.
Is home invasions petty? Is it really?
Yeah. So most of the time what happens on a home invasion is they're coming in to steal a gate motor, a lawnmower, something out of the garage, something that's quick cash, quick turnover.
When did a robbery become a home invasion? And are the two different?
It's a good question. I don't think I have the exact answer for you. But
okay.
But there's common robbery, which is of common anything, and then there's a home invasion, which is into the house, as far as I understand.
Okay. All right. I have a friend who had a home invasion, but the police kind of like underplayed it. They called it something else. It wasn't a home invasion. It was called something else, and I just said, like, why are they doing that? So, if you've got any questions, you're welcome to send them through on 061 895-1019. I'm Kathy Kayla. This is the It's called the Home Run. And joining me is Leron Sanders, the CEO at the CSO, talking about kidnapping, talking about trends. Part of the CSO's mandate is to protect Jewish life and Jewish way of life. Is there a reason? As Jewish community, we live in little pockets. We live around our schools. We live around our synagogues, our community centers. Are we being targeted?
No, I don't think we're being targeted.
He said no, but he nodded his head. Did you see that?
No, I'm not in my head no, because I know I'm correct. No, we're not being targeted. And the reason why I say no, we aren't being specifically targeted, is if I saw a difference in crime levels in more Jewish areas compared to other areas, I'd say we're being targeted. But on a broad basis of all the police meetings and the police people we speak into, the crime trends are all equally climbing in all the different areas. So no, I don't think we are being specifically targeted.
We have such good security in the CSO, in our private security firms, that sometimes I wonder if we aren't living in a bubble where we aren't really seeing what's really happening in South Africa, where kids are going missing.
I don't have the answer to that, but I think what's been a big mission in my personal journey and my growth within the CSO has been clear in our communications and direct in our community. And direct in our community to the important news out there. There's so much news and bad things happening that you can get completely sucked into it. And then on the other hand, you can be completely sheltered in this bubble. What we're really trying to do through our communications is guard the community on what they should be listening to and what they should be aware of. So when we communicate something, it's generally something important, and we want you to be aware, and we're directing the narrative to the news and the trends that you should be thinking about.
Okay, so you said first and foremost, be aware. What does that mean?
That's a good question, and I think I like to pose a question back to you. Have you ever been at the robot and all of a sudden someone's knocking on your window and you got the fright of your life?
No.
Okay, there's another nod. There's a nod in the studio, so at least I got 50%.
So it's a 50-50.
It's a 50-50. Okay. So if you said no, fantastic, it means you're aware. If you said yes, you got a fright by someone knocking on your window when you're sitting at the robot, it means you're completely unaware. So, and the reason why I say that is because as soon as you stopped at a robot, as a silly example, you are more susceptible than anyone to some form of crime. Why? Because you're sitting duck.
Yes.
So automatically in that situation, your alertness and your awareness should automatically go up a notch, and you should be understanding what's happening on your surroundings and your peripheries. And that's a simple way of saying what does it mean to be aware? Another example, when you go to bed at night, you put your alarm on, you've got your burglar bars, you've got an electric fence, hopefully, and you put your head on that pillow and you feel comfortable because you've got your security bubbles around you. In most situations, yeah, you've got that form of protection. That's a level.
Is it really?
Yes, I do. Okay. Believe. I do believe it is, because
it's a deterrent.
It's a deterrent, yeah. You're putting your head down and you're feeling somewhat comfortable that you've got some levels of security around you, protecting you. As soon as you wake up in the morning and you turn those alarms off, you need to wake up your awareness levels as well. You're still safe and secure in your house, but as soon as you step out your front door, out of your driveway, okay, well, now I'm in the real world. My alertness should be up again. I should start to worry about what is surrounding me. When I'm at home, I shouldn't have to. That should be my safe space.
Yeah.
And that's really what awareness is. It's understanding what's taking place around you, not just what you're focusing on.
And what belongs and what doesn't belong.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's also very important. If somebody who doesn't belong in your area, who doesn't have a reason to be there, is sitting opposite your gate or in your road watching, you know, sometimes, and I've seen it, people who pretend to be drunk, so that they can sit and they can watch. It's information gathering to see what time does this one come home, what time is that one leaving. Don't take anything for granted. just call security and get them to come and remove them or question them. And someone who's up, who's got nefarious intentions, they're going to get up and they're going to leave the minute that security arrives. In fact, they'll even leave if you're calling them. Yeah. And make it obvious that you're calling them. 100%. Make it uncomfortable.
100%.
Yeah, because they shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's being aware. Yeah. What belongs, what doesn't belong.
100%. Look, I can talk. I try to keep it short when I come here.
Because
I
know, don't have to keep it short.
I know there's a lot to cover. We run awareness seminars. We talk about awareness, and it's a 2, 3, 4, 5 hour course, depending on the engagement we have. And as part of this communication, the team made an assessment that we need to run an awareness seminar. So the CSO will be running an awareness seminar in the coming weeks. We're going to start with the preparation on that now so we can communicate out. And I encourage everyone to come to that seminar, because we talk about so many things that afterwards you'll think, geez, I didn't even realize I was doing this subconsciously, or, oh my gosh, I wasn't doing this and I need to start doing this. So, look, I can talk about it for hours.
No, that's why I try not to. We've got listener questions. So, Unsigned says, Kathy, please ask the CEO, his name is Liron, what happens if you don't have any bank cards, etc., or cash on you? And should we dress scruffy if you're walking? I ponder about this while waiting for the bus, which is in Johannesburg, a long wait generally. I think that is a brilliant question. I really think it's an excellent question. Liron, over to you.
A good question.
Do you need me to repeat?
No. So you'll correct me if I'm leaving anything out, but it's no cash and no cards was the first part.
What happens if you don't
happens? So the syndicates are extremely smart. They'll get into your banking apps and they will try to do cash sends and then go withdraw the cash. That is one general way. But generally in these cases, they're targeting you more for your than just your cash. So they are looking for the car as well, because the car gets sold for scrap, etc. So if you don't have cash and you don't have cards, they will try going to your banking apps via your cell phone. So that's to answer the first bit. And I think the second part of that question was, should I dress scruffy? No, it doesn't make any difference whether you're dressing smart
just
or scruffy.
Just like a teenager.
There's no science to say that they are targeting people who look wealthy or people who look scruffy. There's no science behind that. It's really opportunistic. If you're aware of what's taking place in your surroundings and you can see something happening, remove yourself from that situation or get yourself to a safer space.
Well, none of us know how we will react in such a situation. What is the best way to react?
The best way is to find somewhere that you could deem as safe, or somewhere where you can put yourself into a safety net. If you can lock yourself away, or you get yourself into a big crowd of people that if you scream and shout, they can help you. The power of your voice is amazing. So it's making an assessment of where's your safe haven or your safe zone when you're out there in the public space.
So if there is a scenario of a hijacking, should one do everything that they say? Should one try and get away?
Look, in these situations, I can't tell you, because each situation is different okay. And each syndicate is different. You've got to make the assessment in the moment, is what's going to save or cost you your life, unfortunately. So in these syndicates, it might be better to just go along and let them take the cash.
And follow
through, then try to fight them, and then one of them has a firearm potentially. You don't want to put yourself in that situation. Generally, compliance in these situations is better until you can find a way to get dropped off or get out of there.
Yeah. Okay, Bev, there was a member of the community who was, Bev wants to know what happened. So if you've just joined us, like Bev, on Friday afternoon, there was a member of the community who was kidnapped, and the CSO, well, there were people who saw what happened. They called the CSO. CSO, how many vehicles?
15. The CSO had four vehicles out, and then in excess of 15 joined by police and other security companies.
Okay. So they were all working together. These guys took credit cards, and they were spending and doing whatever. And long story short, they were able to get two of the hijackers who were shopping in Sandton know, stylish. And that led to the arrest of another three. So, and the kidnap victim is fine.
Yep.
And he's okay.
Correct.
It's not so simple. Okay, so I want to check two things with you. One, I was told that if you are stopping behind a vehicle, that you should see the bottom of the vehicle in front of you, the tires, and that will give you enough space to pull out.
In general, yes. It's that distance is about 1.5-2 meters.
Yes.
You want to just have enough wiggle room to be able to drive your car out if you're stopping at a robot.
If you're able to.
It's the same as if there's a left turning lane and you can be in the left turning lane, where there's the emergency exits. It's all about making sure you have a window of opportunity. So in anything, it's car or not car, where's your window of opportunity to find the space to get yourself to safety?
What happens if it happens in traffic? And this is something, I was having this conversation with someone yesterday, who we're actually saying, you know, about hijacking of vehicles on a highway in traffic. I'm saying, but where are they going to go in the car?
So I think you got to understand the situation.
Yes.
In traffic on the highway, they're not after the car. They're after your cell phone. So cell phone snatching, because they can grab, or your purse. They can grab, run away, run down the hill on the side of the highway and get out of sight. They're not after the car, because if they're going to be caught in traffic, it doesn't suit them.
No,
so it's understanding what the threat or the criminal threat is towards you in that situation.
Okay. Leroy Saunders, you are doing a fantastic job. Thank you very, very much for doing what you do, and well done to you, to all the teams involved in getting this guy back. And I would suggest, I actually think the entire High FM team need to sign up to do your awareness course, because I want my people to be safe. If you want to get in touch with the CSO, how do we do it?
In an emergency, on our number is 086-18-0018. Nice and easy. We have a website, cso.org.za, and if you want to send us an email, it's info@cso.org.za, and we do read them every single day and reply to everyone.
We actually read our emails.
We got a full team who listen, respond, and obviously in an emergency we've got the 24/7 control room there to assist you.
Okay. Linda says, or as I think Kathy was thinking, walk with someone slower than you. Oh, they're going to be easier
friend,
to catch.
Eh?
All right, and that is where we leave it. Thank you so much, Leroy. If you want to get hold of CSO, cso.org.za, go and sign up for that awareness course. I think it's very important for all of us.